Hello, everyone. This is Paolo coming to you live with SY7 Ministry from Italy. And it's hot. But I'm happy to have iced coffee. I love hot coffee, you know. I mean, I don't make hot coffee on Shabbat, but, you know, during cold time and winter and stuff, nothing like a good cup of hot coffee. But sometimes I tell you, iced coffee is so much yummier. I love it. It's good stuff. Well, before I start talking about the message, I want to blow the shofar and do the Avinu prayer. Really echoes in here. Stay. All right, let's pray. Avinu Shabashmaim, Yikadesh Shimcha, Vihi Borech Machutcha, Ratzoncha Yihiye Asui Bashmaim, Uva Aretz, Viti Ten, Lamenu, Timidi, Umecho, Lanu, Hatutenu Kaasher, Anachnu Machalim, Lachotim, Lanu, Ve'al tivienu lidei niseyon ve'shonrei nu michora. Avinu in heaven, may your name be sanctified. May your kingdom be blessed. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us our bread continually. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Father, I praise you and I thank you so much for your Shabbat. I thank you, Abba, that we have the confidence of knowing that if we truly honor and keep your Sabbath, that we are marked by you, that we are set apart unto you, that we are seen by the world to know that we belong to Yah, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Father, I just ask and pray as we get into this message, may you please lead every word that comes out of my mouth. Will you please give me your words through your Ruach HaKodesh, your Holy Spirit. Lead me and teach me and speak through me, Father, to give this word unto others and those listening, that it will be edifying, encouraging, convicting, and to mold all of our lives, to shape us into what you intended us to be all along, your children and the bride of Messiah. And we just pray and lift all this up to you right now in the glorious and mighty name of your Son, Yeshua. Amen and amen. All right. So, his renewed mercy. Too repetitive? So, before I read the key scriptures for this message, I want to read from the Hebrew, the word that is used in the verses I'm going to speak on, the word chesed, all right? That is the Hebrew word for mercy. It means goodness, kindness, faithfulness. It can also be a reproach or shame. It's used 149 times in Scripture for mercy, more than anything else, all put together, pretty much. The Strong's definition has it as piety, or to have pity, kindness, reproof, beauty, favor, mercy. The Brown Driver Briggs uses it also in goodness and kindness. Let's see it. I think there is one other part of and then the Gesenius. Now I find this interesting is desire or a zeal towards someone you love. So what's interesting here is Yah desires to have that mercy toward us, even a zeal towards us whom he loves. And why wouldn't he, right? We're his creation. He created us for his glory. That's what the word says. So it would only make sense. Unfortunately, we've become seriously tainted goods, as it were, because of sin. All right, so with that said, I want to read Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 23. Through Adonai's mercies, we are not consumed. Through Adonai's mercies, we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. That right there is the biggest heart, is the heart of this message. The fact that Yah renews his mercy every morning. So I want to just kind of bring a few things into clarity. Let's look at the level of what this means in our life, okay? Let's take a look at what is that renewed mercy that this is referring to. So let's start off with just in breath alone, okay? Now, I'm going to be 54 this year, here in a few months. And so I just rounded this up as if today was my birthday, just for the sake of argument, okay? So just in breath alone, Yah has given me his renewed mercy 19,722 times. That's days, 19,722 days from the day I was born to my 54th birthday, and of course, by the grace of Yah, that I literally see it here in a few months. That is just him letting me wake up every morning since the day I was born. Now, take it and think about that for a second, Mishpaha. Whatever age you are, and you do the math, you look at the day you were born to the day you are now, and you add on the day, you add all the days of each year, and you add it all up to the day right now, this moment, that you're listening to this message, or those who listen to this message later, at that moment, you think about how many days that you've been alive, and you think about the fact that that is Yah's renewed mercy unto you every single day that he lets you wake up. To me, that is so impactful to me. That 19,722 times on my 54th birthday, this is how many times Yah has shown me mercy. That he has decided to give me permission to wake up to another day. That he has decided to give me permission to live to see another day. But it doesn't stop there. That's just to wake up every morning. How many times for myself, as I was putting this message together this week, I really took the time to think about my life going all the way back to as young as I can remember. How many times he showed me that renewed mercy? He saved my life from sickness twice, once in 2009. Once in 2019, once in 2021, I became so ill that I was on the verge of death Twice I do know that I was about to die, and even the night I knew that I didn't, I knew that I knew I was not going to live through that night. And then from prayer and multiple people praying over me, I felt Yah deliver me out of death's hands. Work accidents. I was in construction. I don't know. Oh, my goodness. This one time I did HVAC. I would put all the heating duct work and stuff in commercial jobs and residential stuff. And I was working on a clubhouse in an apartment complex. And I was hanging this double wall B vent. Now, most of you have no clue what I'm talking about. But it was six. It was about this big around. It was 16 or 20 inch diameter. And it's a metal sleeve inside of a thicker metal sleeve. And this is for to vent the furnace, the to run it up out of the building. Okay. Like you have a furnace in your home and you have you might have PVC now, plastic, that vents your furnace, but it used to be smaller double wall B vent. And so this is for a commercial job, so it's much bigger. And it's 3 feet tall and weighed about 25 pounds. It was hanging about 10 feet above my head, and I was just getting ready to step off of this ledge because that's how I was able to reach this thing to lock it into place. But it felt I heard it lock, but it locked underneath the tab, and it was deceiving, and I didn't know that it didn't take hold. It came down. Or no, okay, so I went to step down and I fell. When I fell backwards and there was a 2x4 sticking up that was broken from the framing of a wall. And I'm falling backwards and I just happened to, instead of just falling back and jumping down backwards, I happened to turn and look and it was pointing right at me like a spear. If I hadn't have looked, I would have been impaled, it would have went completely through me, and I wouldn't be here giving this sermon today. But that wasn't the end of it. After, when I looked back, I turned and I smacked it away with my hand and kind of twisted like a cat, because I was younger and had that ability to do that then, and twisted around and landed on my feet while smacking that broken 2x4 that was still nailed into the bottom of the wall, but it was sticking up and it was snapped in half. So the upper part was gone wherever it was at. So knocked that out of the way, but that wasn't the end. Because as soon as I caught my feet and stood up, bam, right on top of my head came that big piece of metal B vent, came down on my head, double wall B vent, it double laid me open on top of my head. I got like 30 plus stitches in the top of my head. And it could have very well killed me or caused severe damage or broke, you know, jammed my neck, paralyzed me, all this stuff. It could have done all kinds of damage. And that was after I could have been impaled. So that's another time. And I've got a whole bunch of them. I'll share one more. My very first missionary trip, I went to Nicaragua. And the village that we went to was just like one or two steps above caveman status. They had no electricity, no plumbing, no nothing. We actually were there to run plumbing a mile and a half from a lake to the village as a gravity feed water system because their well went dry. So we were running this to the village so that they could have water in the village on a regular basis from this big, huge lake. And now, mind you, this is 17 hours into the jungle. It took from the main city, Managua, it took 5 hours just to drive to Nueva Guinea. And then it was... How did that? It's been a long time. But anyways, between the driving, then the hiking, right? Then it was 4 hours of hiking through the jungle, then another 4 hours on a river on a boat to the village, and somewhere else, a couple other hours of something else at the beginning. So It added up to 17 hours to get to that village from Managua, the main city that we came from, which I think is the capital of Nicaragua. So if you have an emergency, you're pretty much toast. Two things happened to me. One, in Nicaragua, they have the deadliest rattlesnake. I don't know where else they have it, but they have the deadliest rattlesnake in the world. It's got four fangs, two above, two below. And the thing about this particular rattlesnake is that it can lay completely out, not coiled, and it can still leap double or triple its body length from a laid out position. I didn't know this till afterwards, but I'm walking by our group. There's nine men in our missionary group, and then a bunch of Spanish missionaries who were with us because they helped us with, you know, translation and stuff, except for a couple of our guys who could speak Spanish. But they're the ones that would get us around and get us everywhere we needed to go and all that stuff. So we're walking along and we're walking through towards the village. And I heard this rustling in the bush. And like a dummy, I decide I want to see what's in there. And I start moving the bush. And one of the locals grabbed the back of my shirt and yanked me backwards because he knew right away what was about to happen. And as soon as he pulled me back, this 4 foot long rattlesnake went flying right by my face. And if I had been there, if he hadn't yanked me, he would have hit me right here dead. I mean, when they bite you, you got maybe 3 minutes, but he would have hit me here, I'd have been dead in 30 seconds. So that right there. And then the night before we left, and of course, this was before I came to Torah, they put on a feast for us. These people were amazing. I watched the mother of the village, because it was, I don't know, a couple hundred people that lived in this village, this little village. And the woman, she was like the mother of the village. She did a lot of the cooking. I watched her kill three chickens right in front of me. Of course, I grew up on the farm, so, you know, not a big deal. And then big, huge iguana that they prepared all for this huge feast to send us off because of how thankful they were for what we had come in to help do. And I'm sitting there eating. All of a sudden, a piece of the iguana meat got lodged in my throat, and I mean lodged. And I might have had a pinhole of air, and I spent the next 2 minutes, was the longest minutes of my life at that moment. And I thought I was going to die. I thought, I'm dying here on a piece of meat in the jungle. And it took a couple minutes. And finally, I'm like shoving my hand down my throat. And one of the leader, who was also the pastor of the village, tried to give me the Heimlich maneuver from the side, and he would have just broke all my ribs. And I'm like, no. And I pushed him back, not pushed him, but I was like, no. Shaking my head, no. And he stepped back, and then I'm just ramming my fingers down my throat, trying to pop it out. And obviously it worked because I'm here. And there's so many things I could tell you, Mr. Baha. And we all have stories like this. We all have, if we sit and think about it, car accidents, head-on collisions, you know, different things that we've all been through where you shouldn't have survived that, you know? I should not be here today, and we could probably all look back and think of how many times that we should not be here today. Every one of these things is Yah's renewed mercy on you. Every single time that you have literally, for a lack of better words, cheated death only because of Yah's mercy. And because we know that no one will die unless it's Yah's will, like he says, that not a single sparrow falls to the ground that he doesn't know about it, or it's not by his hand. So now you know why it's renewed mercy? Because his first act of mercy was that he gave us a way to repent, to restore us to him. Everything from the time that when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden and were cast out of the garden, everything has been about redemption and restoration back unto the Father and back unto his Son, Yeshua. And so from the first time, like it says, many of us know that the first animal sacrifice had to have been in the garden, because it says that Yah created clothing from an animal to clothe Adam and Eve. So there's the first sacrifice to cover us up. And then all of the things that go on after that. And everything that is to lead and point to the ultimate sacrifice for sin, and for to restore us, to cleanse us, to purify us, to sanctify us, is Yeshua, the one and only true sacrificial lamb, the one and only true rabbi, the one and only true savior and king, and the one and only bridegroom and blessing, that everything of what Yeshua is permeates the very essence of the Father's mercy. I mean, it's almost like Yeshua's name should have been Chesed, because he is mercy. He is mercy, because he was willing to obey his Father, to come and be the sacrificial lamb. That's why Yeshua says, I was crucified before the foundation of the earth, because it was spoken into existence. It was spoken into place to be done of what was to come and how we would be restored unto him. He gave us a way to repent, to be restored to him. That was the first act of mercy, and everything after that has been is renewed mercy. Every screw up that we have done, everything we've done wrong, every blasphemous word or thought or action or anything has, I'm getting ahead of myself. Let me go here. Because all sins, because all sins unto death are a death penalty. Every lie, every sexual sin, every murder, every idol or graven image, every bearing of false witness, every time you stole, dishonored father and mother, profane his Shabbat, profane his name, had other gods before him, and a plethora of other things, they all come with the sentence of death. And if you live now, if you are hearing this message, it is because he has delivered you and shown you mercy from the sentence of death again and again and again and again since the day you became accountable for your sin. Mishpachah, if you still live, as I just said, after committing any of these things, then every single breath, every single second, minute, hour, day is his renewed mercy upon you. Do you get this? We are so arrogant and haughty. We think we have the right to anything. We don't even have the right to live. We have no right of life. Because of the wickedness we have all committed in our life. And it doesn't matter, Ms. Bahal. You could sit there and think, well, I haven't really been that sinful in my life. According to who? You? Because if Yah says that to hate your brother is committing murder in your heart, or unforgiveness is, to hate your brother is to commit murder in your heart, and that's equal to him as if you were to actually kill somebody, he's declaring it murder. That is sin unto death. He says to even look upon a woman in lust is to commit adultery. So whether you watch pornography or look at a magazine or stare some chick down walking down the street because of what she's wearing or lack thereof, and you're thinking thoughts and lusting after her, then it's no different than if you were committing the act according to what Scripture says. And no matter how much we don't want to agree with that, that's what it says. And the fact that you didn't die at that moment or that day and die, it's because Yah showed you his renewed mercy yet again and again and again and again. Messiah tells us that we will be held accountable for every idle word. There's not a one of us that Yah couldn't justifiably just take us out many times over. So here's the question. His renewed mercy, is it too repetitive? If we have any smarts, the answer is definitely no. Because if it was too repetitive, then we would be dead. Because we all should be dead. We all should be cast into the lake of fire at the great white throne judgment. Every single human being that has ever breathed breath. We should all be dead and cast into the lake of fire according to his own commandments. And what is sin unto death? But as I said, here's the question. What have you really done to show him thanks? Of course, our number one way to thank him is to walk in obedience. But do you? Do you truly walk in obedience to his word? Or are you spending half the time trying to find ways around things in his word so that you can still do what you want to do? But you're convincing yourself you're doing good to honor him and please him. Are you seeking to be broken and contrite, trembling at his word? You know, I was talking with Brother Anthony this morning, and he said something that I absolutely love, because this is how I've always felt myself. That's why Isaiah 66:2 is one of my favorite scripture verses, and is one of the first verses that Yah gave Michelle and I 20 years ago this year, when we dedicated our life to walking in, not only totally walking in his ways, but to be in ministry. Isaiah 66, 1 and 2, and verse 2 says, on this one shall I look upon he who is of a broken heart and contrite spirit and who trembles at my word. And Anthony made the comment, we were discussing scripture, and he was talking about how some, you know, as most of you who are following our ministry knows, that Anthony has been blessed by Yah and shown great mercy, that Yah has given him a place in Jerusalem to live through being enrolled in the Hebrew University. And there's a whole testimony in that in and of itself. But I'll leave that to him to share if he chooses to do so. But he's learned some deeper truths, you know, because he's getting to have firsthand access to ancient texts and writings and stuff like that that are in Jerusalem that the rest of the world doesn't get to see unless, you know, it's online or something. And he made the comment this morning when we were talking. He said, I love how this is humbling me. And, you know, I thought to myself, man, those are the kind of words and the kind of talk that I think Yah wants to hear from his children. Let me rephrase that. I know that Yah wants to hear from his children. Because only a surrendered heart will speak like that. That we look forward to being humble. That we look forward to being lowly before him. Everybody is so, I mean, it's as sad as it is, I see more brothers and sisters, and I don't say they're not my brothers and sisters. We all have things to work through, but I see more brothers and sisters in the body of Messiah who spend more time trying to lift themselves up and make themselves look like something to everybody. And, oh, look at me, I'm a prophet, I'm a this, I'm a that, or whatever. Instead of being lowly in spirit and in presence and focusing on magnifying and lifting up Yah and glorifying him and showing that he is the only one that we need to be looking at. And all of us, we are unprofitable servants. We are unprofitable servants. Doing our duty. That is our job. This isn't some special thing like, ooh, you're special. You get to do this. No, you're lucky that Yah chose to allow you to do this. That's what it is. Because we are unprofitable servants. And us getting to do anything in his name and to glorify him is him showing us that renewed mercy. Because we don't even deserve to be in any of these positions in the first place. I don't deserve to be a pastor, a teacher of the word, or any other title you want to call it. I don't deserve to do this. I don't deserve to have this ministry that Yah has given to my wife and I and to Anthony, Angela, and Daniel, and Alicia, and James. I don't deserve any of this. I don't deserve the blessing of seeing what he has done in this ministry, what he's done in my daughter's lives and their hunger and their love for him. They're adults, they're married. And they're on fire for him and they're at their age and in their way. And I'm watching that fire grow in them more and more as they get older. I don't deserve to have any of this because I have been a wicked and evil and sinful man so much of my life. I deserve none of it. I didn't even deserve to be alive to marry the most amazing woman in the world who has stood by me for 27 years. In 2 weeks, August 7th, is our 27th anniversary, and that woman is still here. She's still here. And she's by my side. She gave up everything with me in America to move over to the other side of the world so that we could spread the gospel to this country and everywhere else we go. She has moved around the world with me multiple times, twice to Israel, and she's given up everything and thrown everything out and sold everything and done all of this stuff again and again. And now the most and the toughest time of all, now we're by ourselves. Our daughters are not with us because now they're married and they belong to their husbands. And they're back in America. We have our first grandchild and we're not even getting to be there to watch her grow up because we are doing Yah's calling. And we don't even deserve to have it. I don't deserve to have this. But because of his renewed mercy, because he loves me so much, because he loves you so much, is why he has delivered you again and again and again and again. Because all he wants to do is show you mercy. All he wants to do is bring you into his arm and wrap his arms around you and hold you tightly and say, "You're mine." He's waiting for you to let go and to grab a hold of him and never let go. Let go of you and grab a hold of him. Let go of this world. Let go of your personal desires. Let go of your things and your ways and grab a hold of him and his things and his ways and his word and his commandments and his son and hang on to it with everything you got. And he wants to give you everything. He wants to give you his kingdom. He wants to give you a place in his new Jerusalem. He wants to give you a place to rule with his son for 1,000 years as kings and priests and whatever else comes with that. He wants to give you eternal life. He wants to give you a crown of life. He wants to give you all of these things. All he wants you to do is surrender your heart to him utterly and completely. And we fight against that so hard in so many different ways because of the things of the flesh that we allow to be a battle in our life. And he continues to pour out that chesed, that mercy again and again and again and again when we deserve nothing less than death. So now I ask you, Mishpaha, does your lifestyle wholly represent him? Let's go to Matthew chapter 7. I'm sorry, Matthew 5, verse 7. And Yeshua said, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." Now, this needs to be an uh-oh. This needs to really kind of make your chest get tight, make you get a little nervous, because Yeshua is saying, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." It's kind of like, I will forgive, like the Lord's Prayer, I will forgive you as you forgive those who sin against you. Because Yeshua says, if you do not forgive those who sin against you, my Father in heaven will not forgive you of your sin. So the mercy runs hand in hand with that. How well do you show others mercy? How well do you have that kind of compassion on others that no matter what they've done wrong to you, that you continue to show them mercy and give them renewed mercy? Like Yeshua said, one of the disciples said, "How many times should I forgive my brother? 7 times?" He said, 70 times 7. In one day. Can you imagine somebody in your life coming and doing you wrong even 10 times in one day and they come to you and say, "I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry." How many times do we do that to Yah on a daily basis? How many times do we keep making the same mistakes or doing stuff and it's like, almost sound like a broken record. "I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I'm sorry." It's like every 5 minutes you feel like you might be doing that. But yet Yeshua is showing you that I want you to do that with each other. But that means he's going to do it for you. That is that renewed mercy. So if you show your brother, your sister, that forgiveness 70 times 7, that means your Savior's going to do that for you over and over and over. But it doesn't mean it's okay to go and sin, because if your heart is not in it, then eventually you will no longer repent of that sin. You will think it's okay, or you won't, or you, your heart will be hardened in that area. And that's a dangerous, dangerous ground. Don't get caught up in that kind of thing, Mishpaha. Turn with me also to Luke 6:36. Therefore, be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. Now, we know that we cannot come unto the Father except through the Son. We know that we cannot be saved unless we repent of our sin and to confess that Yeshua is Adonai, that Jesus is Lord. He is our Savior. He died for our sins and rose from the dead to give us salvation. He defeated death and took the keys of death from the devil to break the curse of death. He did all these things. But Mishpaha, he did all these things and he made it clear to point you back to the Father. It is to the Father and to the Father alone. That's why Yeshua says, I go to my God and your God, to my Father and your Father. And everything he says, if you love me, keep my Father's commandments. If you love me, do this unto the Father. And if you confess me, then my Father will come to you and make his abode with you and all these things. It's everything that Yeshua taught is about pointing you back to the Father. It is about him and above all else, him. Yeshua is the mediator, and I don't take anything from him because we wouldn't have it if it wasn't for him. We would not have this if he was not willing to obey his Father and come into the flesh and be the sacrificial lamb and go through the horrendous torment, torture, beatings, and crucifixion that he went through. That not a one of us could have even survived half of what he went through. That is the greatest act of his renewed mercy. Turn with me also to Micah chapter 6. Micah 6, verse 8. He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does Adonai require of you? But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. I want to read that again. He has shown you, O man, Micah 6:8. He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does Yah require of you? But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Do you think that your Father and your Messiah sits up there and just, I got to show him mercy again. Because blah, blah, I don't want to do this. That's not how it works. He loves mercy. He loves mercy. He loves pouring his mercy out on us. He desires his zeal, like I said, from the meaning of chesed in the it was a desire. A zeal towards the one you love. He loves, he desires, he has a zeal towards us to show us mercy. And in all of this of what I'm saying, is that too repetitive, Mishpaha? Do you show mercy? How are you perceived when dealing with issues? Your daily conversations, is your mouth in check? Do your eyes wander? Do all these things give him thanks every day? How about when you rise in the morning because he decided to allow you to wake up again? Do you praise him and thank him every single day? Yeshua gives us clarity on what we are to pray daily, the Avinu prayer. We know that when we read in Matthew 6, Yeshua says, when you pray, pray this way.
And I'll be honest with you, Ms. Baha, as far as I'm concerned, it's a commandment. Does Yah need to say, thus saith the Lord, this is a commandment, for it to be a commandment? Or if he says, do this this way, is that not a commandment? He's saying, I want you to do this this way. Then, end of argument. This isn't up for discussion of, well, if you feel like it, or if you want to. But Yeshua made clear, when you pray, pray this way. Not when you pray, if you want to, try this prayer. No, when you pray, pray this way. That's what he said. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. So first of all, he's telling us to glorify him. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So first of all, we're praising him and glorifying his name that is above all names. Second of all, we're glorifying his kingdom and all that is in it, that on earth will happen as it is in heaven. Then we're asking, please give us today our daily bread, both spiritually and physically, obviously, to be fed to take care of this physical body, to be fed to take care of our spiritual. Forgive us for our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. So Yeshua is directing us to repent every day. Every day, because every day, I don't care what anybody says, you are going to mess up somehow. I'm not saying that you're living in sin or purposeful sin or whatever it is. We are always battling in the flesh. Paul said it. He says, I do the things that I don't want to do, and I don't do the things that I want to do because my spirit and my flesh war with each other continually. And that's why we must bring our thoughts under submission unto him. Our body must be brought under submission unto Yeshua. And so Yeshua says, the Father's prayer tells us to repent every day as we forgive those. Ask for forgiveness as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation. Now, Yah does not tempt us. He made that clear. He said, do not think that I tempt you, for I tempt no one. But it's protect us from that temptation. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one when he is tempting us. Deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory. So it's closing out by reconfessing, reclaiming, re-speaking who he is. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. And so every morning, and I'm not saying this, I'm not anybody, but for a while, for quite a while now, praise Yah, that has been my daily thing. When I get up in the morning and I hit my knees, I pray the Father's Prayer. I thank him for having mercy on me yet again to sustain me through the night and allow me to wake up in the morning to see another day. And hopefully I will live through this day. And hopefully by the will of Yah, I will wake up again tomorrow and see tomorrow, because he says tomorrow's not promised. We are not promised tomorrow. We do not know if we're going to see tomorrow. And Mishpaha, we can never say it enough. If Yah can show us renewed mercy every day, we can renew our thanks to him every day. It should never, ever get to where we're like, I'm just saying the same thing over and over again. Well, maybe he should stop doing the same thing over and over again if it bothers us and is too repetitive to you to say the same thing over and over again. Thank you. Thank you for saving my life yet again. Thank you for allowing me to wake up yet again. Praying the Lord's Prayer, because yesterday's gone. What you did, what you prayed, whatever it is, it's gone. Today is now a fresh day that he's given you permission to wake up to. So you have it is by right that we should repeat it again, because we've been allowed that renewed mercy to say it again, to thank him again, to ask him again to watch over us, to protect us, to keep us safe, to pray the prayer of Psalm 91, to ask him to once again restore the armor of God upon you on this new day that he has allowed you to wake up to pray the Father's prayer again on the day that he's allowed you to wake up to a new day on. There is never, when it comes to prayer and repetitiveness in this way, it is not too much. He says, do not pray these long, fancy prayers and all of these words as though you are something for the purpose of making yourself look like something in front of others. But when we are in our prayer closets, when we, just like the Aaronic blessing, Yah told Moses to give to Aaron to speak over the people. He didn't say do it once and that was it. Man, the Aaronic blessing is something of Israel that the Hebrew people pray all the time. It's a prayer of blessing, and they speak it over each other all the time from him, as we should. So can we thank him too much? Can it be too repetitive? Is his mercy too repetitive? Look at those in heaven. Turn with me to these last scripture verses. Revelation chapter 4. Verse 8. And I'll tell you something. I when I was young in my walk, before, you know, I really started learning to appreciate this relationship with Yah, his mercy, and really learning and understanding what it means, I would read this verse and I'm just like, in my flesh, I would feel this, man, forever. And I didn't complain against it, but I thought, I was thinking in a fleshly, carnal mind way of over and over and over and over and over forever and ever. How do you do that and it not become just meaningless or whatever, right? But how in the world could we ever think that to be in our heavenly form, to be before Yah, and to do anything like these guys do, that it could ever be to get boring or meaningless or whatever. So Revelation 4 verse 8 says, the four living creatures, each have six wings, are full of eyes around and within. They do not rest day or night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. I'm going to add verse 9. Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. And Mishpaha, this really boils down to the fact, just that last verse. You are worthy, O Adonai, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. And that's what it boils down to, Mishpaha. By his will, you are alive. By his will, you were created. By his will, you exist. If he hadn't have decided to create you, you wouldn't be here. You would have nothing. You would have no life. You would have no hope. You would have nothing. But he thought of you. He knew you before he ever even started anything. He knew you and created you for his glory, and to give you an eternal future, an eternal hope,
to be with him forever without end. So we praise Yah that he never gets bored or tired of showing us renewed mercy on a constant basis. May we never get tired of giving him our renewed mercy and thanks every day by living faithfully and obediently, by glorifying him and confessing him with our mouths to all the world. Amen. Amen. I'm going to speak the Aaronic blessing and close out. Yavarechacha Adonai, Vaishmorecha, Yair Adonai Panam Velacha Vachunecha, Yisa Adonai Panam Velacha, Vayasim Lacha, Shalom. May Adonai bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May Adonai lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Hashem Yeshua HaMashiach Hasar Shalom, in the name of Yeshua the Messiah, the Prince of Peace. Amen and amen. We love you all so much, Mishpacha. From Paolo and Michelle here in Italy, and from all of SY7, we love you, but most of all, Yah loves you. Shalom, shalom, Shabbat shalom.